Well, let's open our thoughts this afternoon by turning to the 6th chapter of Matthew. In Luke chapter 11, we find the disciples coming to the Lord and asking Him specifically to teach them to pray. Now, I think most of us have heard over the years people make the remark, well, you don't have to teach people how to pray. Well, I think we ought to maybe phrase that a little bit different and put it this way. You don't have to teach people to pray. In other words, when they get in bad enough trouble, just about everybody will turn to prayer. The situation gets desperate enough that just about everybody will turn to prayer. But just because everybody turns to prayer doesn't mean that they know how to pray. I think we can take it for granted that the disciples had a legitimate request of their Lord. Why do I say that? Simply because that He answered their request, didn't he? He began to teach them how to pray. And here's what he says. In Matthew chapter 6, it begins in verse 9, says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. Many times the question is asked, well, do we pray only to the Father, or is it appropriate to pray unto Jesus? Well, I don't know that it's inappropriate to pray unto Jesus, but I tell you that Jesus says, pray unto the Father. Pray our Father, which are in heaven. But that's also the example that Jesus gave, right? How many times did He address God as His Heavenly Father, my Father? But nevertheless, the point is that we are to pray unto God, the real, true God, the one and only God. We are to address Him then as our Father, if indeed He is our Father. We ought to address Him that way. And what a blessing it is to be able to come to God as our Father. Our earthly fathers sometimes may disappoint us, that our Heavenly Father will never disappoint us. As Jesus taught the people, if you ask your Father for a fish, will He give you a serpent? Or if you ask Him for a loaf of bread, will He give you a stone? No. Well, if your earthly Father knows how to give good gifts, He said, how much more your Father which is in heaven. So, this is the way we're to pray. This is the manner, therefore, in which we're to pray. Our Father, and which art in heaven. We acknowledge not only Him as our Father, but the place, Brother Jerry, of His abode, and also which implies the position of authority that He has because He sits upon the throne, right? So, Our Father which art in heaven, but then hallowed be thy name. We're not to approach him in an familiar method, a familiar way. You ever heard the old phrase, familiarity breeds contempt? And pray that's what's happening today in so many cases. They've gotten so familiar with God, at least they think, that they can approach him without fear. Hallowed be thy name. That's his name is to be highly revered among us. So then, what's the next petition? Well, it concerns the kingdom, doesn't it? Thy kingdom come. No selfishness, no self-centeredness in that. There is no self-aggrandizement in that. It is all for the glory of God. And certainly our prayers should be always anchored in that very thing. That whatever, doesn't matter what it is, it needs to be for the purpose of seeing the kingdom of God come. In other words, that the kingdom of God would be manifest upon the earth over all and unto all people. Now, again, when we say, or when we're praying, thy kingdom come, we're not denying that his kingdom already exists, because it does. That's not the object of the prayer, but the object of the prayer is that the kingdom of God might be manifest in its fullest form and in its fullest nature. Then the next petition is that it is the kingdom is to come, and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now again, the prayer is not assuming that if we don't pray this way, that the will of God is not going to be accomplished. One thing that we can be assured of, whether we pray or don't pray, the will of God is going to be accomplished. But what this prayer is simply implying is that our heart's desire is to see that the kingdom of God, in as it's manifest in the will of God, would be as evident and as fulfilled as it on earth as it is in heaven. And one day it will be. There will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth what? Righteousness. And that's what the prayer is all about. And some people, I'm sure, take this to mean, in their understanding, well, we hope that, God's will be done. Well, that's not it at all, because God's will is going to be done regardless of what. But our prayer is that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven, that there will be the fullness and the completeness of the manifestations of God's will and his glory upon earth as it is in heaven. And then give us this day our daily bread. Again, most people understand that to mean the food that we eat to sustain the body. And we do understand that we ought to realize that God does indeed give us every day, day by day, the nourishment for our body. But this bread that is being mentioned here in this prayer, I cannot concede that it is for physical bread. I believe that it is talking about that bread of heaven that John talks about, or that Christ talks about in John chapter 6. It's not that earthly manna that he's talking about, but he's talking about that manna which comes down from God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And the Lord makes that very clear in this sixth chapter of John. Verse 48, for instance, he says, I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and what happened to them? Well, they're all dead, right? Verse 50, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So that's what the Lord is teaching them to pray. He goes on further in this sixth chapter of Matthew, and he tells us in verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, right? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? It says, for after all of these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow will take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. So I'm thoroughly convinced that when he says, give us this day our daily bread, that we're talking about that spiritual food that satisfies the soul, that indeed gives life to the soul. And forgive us our debts. This ought to be one of our main concerns, shouldn't it? Forgive us our debts. But look what it says further. As we forgive our debtors. In other words, in like manner. Serious business there, isn't it? Serious business there. Another place it tells us that if we forgive not those that sin against us, what's going to happen? Well, neither will our Father forgive us our trespasses. Wow. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. But, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your Heavenly Father will also forgive you. So what a challenge this is to us. Thought-provoking. And then he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, he finishes up, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And so the whole purpose of this prayer is to the glory of God. Is this the model prayer? Well, I think it is. And ultimately, in fulfilling the petitions that are in this prayer, we fulfill the petitions of our hearts. Are there other things that we can pray for? Are there other things that we should pray for? Yes, there are. But they all are to be prayed within the context of these words that we've just read right here. Everything that we pray for is to be prayed for with this idea in mind that it's finally, ultimately going to bring forth the glory of God manifest in the earth, even as it is in heaven, to the glory of God the Father. Now again, that was the whole purpose of Jesus coming into the world, wasn't it? To do the will of Him that sent me. That is our purpose also. And the words of this prayer, first, in worship to the Lord, and secondly, in the petitions that we present before Him and unto Him, fulfills the whole purpose of God's salvation to His people. First, it is to worship Him. Secondly, it is to receive those things that are necessary to the service of God. What else is necessary? Nothing. If we can fulfill those two things, to worship God and serve Him, that's life. And it's really life everlasting. As we pray this afternoon, we certainly want to keep these things in our minds. Let our hearts dwell upon them. And may God grant unto us indeed the things that we ask. And how many of us doubt that if we love the Lord, that every one of the petitions that are presented here in this prayer will be answered. And so will be fulfilled that which Jesus said, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. Amen. All right, well, let's go to the Lord. We do have many petitions. We talked about some of those things this morning. We have many loved ones that we have great concerns over, whether or not they know God and that they have that eternal life. We need to pray for them. We have loved ones that are ill. We also do need to pray for our country. Pray for the leaders of the country. They may be the most ungodly people in the world, but we're still commanded to pray for them that we might live a quiet and a peaceable life. We have many, many things to lay before our Lord this afternoon. And thankfully, we do have the time that is given to us to go to the Lord at that throne of grace, brother. Jerry, that we might indeed receive mercy. It's all dependent upon that, and grace to help in our time of need. So.